Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to worship. We ask, Lord, that you would speak to us your word through these words. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Most of us have been hearing all sorts of Christmas songs on the radio or on our CDs or various platforms, and so we're all familiar with many of the Christmas songs that are familiar with most people today. And I came across a list of the worst Christmas songs of all time and a list of the best Christmas songs of all time. What I discovered is that some of the songs on the worst songs of all time are also on the list of the best songs of all time. And some that are on the best songs of all time are on the list of the worst songs of all time. So it really is kind of a matter of taste, I guess you might say. But certainly I came up with a list, my list of the 10 worst Christmas songs of all time. You may disagree with those, and you have all the right to do that, but for me, these are the worst. Number 10, I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. Number 9, All I Want for Christmas is My 2-Front Teeth. Number 8, Santa Baby. Number 7, Wonderful Christmas Time by Paul McCartney. Number 6, Dominic the Donkey. Now, you may not be familiar with that one, but that's a terrible song. Don't even listen to that. Number 5, I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas. Number 4, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Number 3, Last Christmas by Wham. And number 2, The Chipmunk Song. And number 1, now, you'll love this one. You may never heard this one before. Santa Claus Got the AIDS This Year by Tiny Tim. It's an actual song. I couldn't believe it. But so anyway, those are some of the worst. But obviously there are some good ones as well. And these are a list of the Christmas songs I think are the best. I've divided them up into two categories. One category is the Christmas songs that are just the popular ones today. And the others are what we call Christmas carols, which are really more religious and more focused on spiritual things and that sort of thing. So the best Christmas songs are, number 10, It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year. Number 9, There's No Place Like Home for the Holidays. Number 8, Holly Jolly Christmas. Who doesn't like that one, right? Number 7, Do You Hear What I Hear? Number 6, Little Drummer Boy. Number 5, Sleigh Ride. Number 4, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Number 3, Christmas Song. Number 2, The 12 Days of Christmas. And number 1, White Christmas. So those are some of the most familiar and popular Christmas songs. Obviously, there are others that we could have added to the list, but I certainly just wanted to kind of condense them down to those numbers anyway. But the best Christmas carols, I think, are these. Number 10, O Come All Ye Faithful. Number 9, Away in the Manger. Number 8, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Number 7, Lo, How a Rose E'er Blooming. Number 6, It Came Upon the Midnight Clear. Number 5, The First Noel. Number 4, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Number 3, Joy to the World. Number 2, Silent Night. And number 1, Angels We Have Heard on High. We're going to hear many of those songs on Christmas Eve and many of those carols on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. But certainly those are some of the most beloved and familiar of the Christmas carols. May I suggest also that there are some songs found in the Bible that are not necessarily considered to be Christmas carols, but really carry with them a Christmas theme. And these songs that I just mentioned on the Christmas carol list are really songs that are that have a theme from Scripture in them, but maybe they're not direct quotations from Scripture. But there are other songs that have been written that really are just direct quotations from Scripture. And certainly some of those are really powerful statements of truth, even though they may not be seen as Christmas carols as such. Some have actually been put to tunes in such a way that they're as memorable as many of the carols are that we sing today. Matthew chapter 1, verse 22 says, Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Many of you will recognize that those words are found in Handel's Messiah. and certainly a very, very popular tune that goes along with that. Luke chapter 2, verse 8, suddenly the angel was joined with a multitude of heavenly hosts, proclaiming, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill to men. Obviously, that's another one that we could recognize from Handel's Messiah. And the final song I want to highlight really is from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. That's not really a Christmas carol, not really a song. I never really heard these words put to music, per se. But if you think about it, they really have kind of a symmetry, a rhythm, a storytelling, and a musical style to them. And so, John chapter 1, verse 1 begins, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, he was in the world, and though the world was made by Him, the world did not know Him. He was life, and in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not comprehended it. Goes on to say, He was not the that He was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, but the world knew Him not. He came into His own, but His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, He gave the power to become children of God, children born not of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And while that really is not a carol or a song per se, you can see great truth in that, and you can see how many of those themes are represented in some of the great carols that we sing throughout the Christmas season. You may not realize this, but the Holy Spirit is the one who inspired many of the carols to be written that we sing today. The Holy Spirit is the one who inspires songs within us as Christians. Mary, for example, was filled with the Holy Spirit and sang the beautiful Magnificat, which we heard read today in our gospel lesson. Some of you may remember the word. It says, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoiceth in God my Savior. And so these beautiful words were inspired by the Holy Spirit within Mary. Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, was filled with the Holy Spirit. And as she was filled with the Holy Spirit, when she came into contact with Mary, and Mary gave her a greeting, it says that Elizabeth's baby leapt in her womb, John the Baptist, leapt in her womb. And so Elizabeth sang a song which really was put to something that is very familiar to many of you, and that's called the Rosary. And she said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. And so those are words which are not necessarily in the form of a carol or a song, but they contain a great truth as well. John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and sang a beautiful song about his son preparing the way for the coming Messiah. And Zechariah sang this song, and you, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way for Him, to give His people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God. So you can begin to see how the Holy Spirit was inspiring things like this to come out of mouths of different people in a way that would reflect great truths and would also reflect things that are contained in many of the carols that we sing today. Later on, when Jesus was presented at the temple, Simeon was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he held Jesus in his arms and praised God, singing, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for the revelation to the Gentile and for the glory of your people Israel. So you can begin to see how the Holy Spirit was involved in these great songs of faith found in the first parts of the New Testament. You can begin to see how the Holy Spirit can inspire writers of all kinds to write and sing beautiful melodies and beautiful words that reflect the great truths of Scripture. And certainly St. Paul said this in Ephesians chapter 5. He said, be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I believe that God wants to put a song in each of our hearts. And He wants the Holy Spirit to inspire us to be able to sing songs of praise to God. He wants to inspire us perhaps to maybe even come up with our own songs of praise to God. But certainly He inspires us when we hear these great carols of faith that we sing throughout the Christmas season. Certainly God might inspire within us the opportunity to praise Him in a way that is new to us and yet reflects the joy that He has placed in our hearts through His Holy Spirit. So go ahead and listen to the funny Christmas songs, but maybe balance that out a bit with some of the great carols of our faith that will allow not only the Holy Spirit to inspire faith to rise in your hearts, but also will give you a sense of joy, peace, and love that these great carols are designed to present to us. Certainly, as we sing these carols, they remind us of the incarnation of Christ, the birth of Christ. They remind us of the fact that God created this world and everything in it in order for His good pleasure, and that the world, in its own wisdom, decided to turn away from God by sinning, causing the creation to become corrupted, causing the creation to really become separated from God. And as a result, God chose not to leave the creation in that separated state, but instead He decided that He was going to rescue His creation by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to come among us as a human being. And God didn't want to leave His creation as it had become, but He really was planning by sending His Son to do something that we could not do. His Son came to live a perfect life that we could not live, and to die as the perfect sacrifice that we could not be, in order to pay for our sins and make it possible for us to have a relationship with God. And so when Christ came into this world and He died on the cross to pay for our sins, He asks us to respond to that sacrifice by inviting Him to come into our lives. And when He comes to live inside of us, He does so by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us and begins to change our human spirits. Our human spirits are that which are created in the image of God and are designed to have a relationship with God, but we can only have that relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So when the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us, we have the ability to have a new relationship with Christ, and we have a new home in heaven, have our sins forgiven, things like that. And so when the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us, He not only wants to inspire a new song within us, but He wants to inspire us to begin to live a sort of life that is pleasing to God. And we can only do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I would encourage each one of us to ask the Lord to fill us with the Holy Spirit, so that not only we might be inspired with a new song, but we also might be inspired to follow Jesus Christ as we move toward the celebration of His birth tomorrow. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for not leaving this world in its corrupted state, not leaving us separated from You. We thank You for sending Your Son Jesus into this world. We thank You that You made it possible for us to have a relationship with You, and that no matter what we've done in our lives, no matter what sins we've committed, You're willing to forgive us of those sins and to make us right with God. Lord, would You help us not only to accept the sacrifice that You've made for us on the cross, but also to invite You into our lives and our hearts, and also to begin then to live our lives for You by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, would You fill us now with Your Holy Spirit so that we might have a new song in our hearts, so that we might sing songs of praise with our minds, with our hearts, and with our spirits. And Lord, ultimately, would our lives be a testament to the saving grace that You've given to each one of us. I ask these things in Your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.